Good morning, Joan.
How are you on this sunshiny day? Partly, anyway.
Partly.
This city is so filled with mud and puddles and water accumulation. It's all over Italy. I was listening to Vatican Radio this morning, and
yes.
I mean, the damage done from north to south because of the days and days of torrential and
been
nights.
Loss of life as well.
Yes, loss of life and damaged property and everything else. So it's good to be sitting in a nice, warm, dry studio. Glad we don't record outside. But the week was actually kind of fairly quiet. The Angelus, Sunday Angelus, of course, and Wednesday general audience are always the traditional weekly appointments with the Holy Father. But there was, you know, some other interesting news. The Pope updated a law. This almost seems like a little trivial thing, but he updated a law on citizenship, residency, and access to Vatican City. And I suppose it was about time. The other law dated from 1929, and when, of course, Vatican City State was created mm-hmm. as a sovereign, independent state. And there aren't too many enormous changes. In 29, those who resided in the Vatican for whatever reason, it could be a cardinal or a layperson, they were automatically citizens. Today, you more or less have to ask for that. Cardinals who live in Vatican City or in Rome automatically are citizens. Anyone in the diplomatic service of the Holy See is a citizen of Vatican City. So that much has apparently, though, if you do live there now, if you are a layperson whose families live there, you if the citizenship is passed on, I guess you keep it. But if you are now an Italian citizen but live in the Vatican and want Vatican citizenship, you ask for it.
How many citizens are there in the Vatican?
Well, you know, I went on the website of the Vatican City State and vaticanstate.va, which is a fascinating website. I want to tell all of our listeners, oh my gosh, you could spend an hour just clicking rapidly and doing a superficial look, but it's fascinating. It says something like 800, I think it's actually from a couple of years ago that it has not been updated, like 800 residents, of whom 430 or so are citizens.
Are citizens. So they have a Vatican passport.
I did, yes. And I did look for your, for this show, I did look on the website for specific figures and did not find them. It's, you know, perhaps I missed something.
It is the smallest state in the world, isn't it?
I'm not sure if it's San Marino or Vatican City, but Vatican City is 108.7 acres, which is the size of an average 18-hole golf course, I am told. So that's – a golfer would say that's fairly sizable. Anybody who lives in the city would say that's really small. But so anyway, just a little, you know, a tidbit there about Vatican City. And of course, the cars, you know, you had a few carriages and so forth that might have gone in 1929. Now you have this constant flow of cars. They've built an underground parking area and everything else. So, but
I wonder what advantages one has on the international scenario to be a citizen of Vatican City.
Well, let me tell you, I had a Vatican passport when I traveled on four different occasions for the, and it didn't say Vatican; it said Holy See. Now, I was a delegate for the Holy See. This was a church representation at an international event. But the thing is, I can remember getting to Denmark for one talk in Copenhagen, and certainly, you know, in Beijing, they look at this passport, they look at their list of authorized countries from A to Z, and they don't see Holy See because it didn't say Vatican. So if we told them, because we'd all be from the Vatican, we had our diplomatic passports, we're standing waiting to go through, and then we would all say to them, Vatican City, Vatican, whatever language you tried to say it in, then they'd find that on their list. They'd stamp your passport and let you and let you go through. So advantages, perhaps tax. I don't know.
Perhaps,
I'd have to look into that.
Perhaps
but
visas.
I would think tax and visas and a couple other small things. We'll have to do a show on that.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm sure people would be interested in that.
Well, anything involving Vatican City, because most people only get to see the part of Vatican City that you do not need special permission to go in.
Right.
And this is what the new law says, obviously, is St. Peter's Square, is the Vatican Basilica, and the Vatican Museums. And then the gardens, when you sign up for a tour, that's a different thing.
They give you a special pass.
Oh, sure. Right. But you don't, you know, like if you and I want to go to the Vatican Market, we've got our tessera, right. our little pass that came from work. Somebody who works at the Vatican Bank has a credit card size tessera that allows them, you know, also into Vatican City. Not that you could wander around the gardens with your bank pass.
There are always a lot of tourists standing outside the gates. Have you noticed?
Sure.
Who'd like to go in and realize that you can't just walk in.
But they try.
You know,
I feel so sorry for the Swiss guards, I have to tell you, because the Swiss guards have to be so polite and speak all these different languages. And people go in, they want to get in, and the guards stop them. And, oh, we can't visit, you know.
Right.
But I did notice one thing, and I've got to ask one of the guards why. There used to be a sign right outside the Santa Ana Gate where there is a lot of traffic and Vatican employees going in and out the pharmacy and stores and all. And there used to be a great big sign, yellow and black, if I recall, and it distinctly pointed to the Vatican Museums and the Sistine Chapel, meaning you had to go along that long wall that surrounds Vatican City to actually get to the entrance of the museums. You don't come in to Vatican City at the Santa Ana Gate for the and they've taken the sign down.
Oh.
But I think they did it because nobody paid any attention. It said, the museums are this way. Somebody wanted to be seen talking to a Swiss guard and having their photo taken. So they'd go in and they'd say, excuse me, we're at the museums.
Right.
And I'm sure the guards want to say the sign outside actually tells you, you know. So, so much for Vatican City. But
okay.
There really wasn't, a huge amount of news this week, of course. There was one piece of news on Wednesday. Of course, there was the Wednesday audience, and that was focused on St. Francis de Sales, who is our patron, by the way, as Catholic journalist.
Right.
But I think the news that perhaps dominated Wednesday was the killing in Pakistan of the Pakistani minister for minorities. His name was Shahbaz Bhatti. And he was killed by an armed commando. Now, he's Catholic, the first Catholic ever to hold that post. And the thing is, he had very boldly, for certainly his country and everything, defended Asia Bibi. If our listeners remember that name, that's a Christian woman who was sentenced to death for blasphemy on the basis of false accusations. And he was killed. He did not have any kind of an escort. The government is looking into why he didn't have one. But the information minister said that this man played a key role in promoting interreligious harmony and was a great resource. And, of course, the Vatican obviously reacted immediately to that. Father Lombardi, who heads Vatican Radio and the press office and TV, he said, this is just another terrible episode of violence, and it shows how right the Pope is in his persistent remarks concerning violence against Christians and against religious freedom in general. And, of course, he offered prayers, obviously, for the victim, and I guess his young grandson was in the car with him
when
this happened. I don't believe he was killed, though.
If I'm not mistaken, the minister had actually been to the Vatican and
last year, in September,
by the Pope.
He had been received by the Pope in September, and as a matter of fact, Father Lombardi said, we recall how he was received by the Holy Father in September last year and how he bore witness to his own commitment to peaceful coexistence among the religious communities of the country. So, well, I know we ran out of time, but I think we should just alert our listeners to the fact that Volume 2 of the Pope's book, Jesus of Nazareth, which is really a beautiful look at the Passion of Christ. It is a look at Holy Week by a man who's an esteemed theologian and a worldwide celebrated biblical scholar. So three parts of three different chapters were released this week, and we're still looking into those. I think the highlight is probably what the first news reports did say. You will notice that the Pope does not condemn Jews as a people, as a whole, for the death of Christ. So on that word, having stimulated our listeners to the book comes out on March 10th, so we'll have more to say about that.
Fine. Thank you very much, Joan.
See you next week.
See you next week.